You can take your Bibles, please, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That's where we'll start tonight. First of all, I'd like to say, if you have not had a chance to listen to the conference call teaching from last night, Wednesday, taught by Daniel Woods, I would definitely recommend going to the Acts Now Fellowship website and having a look at that. Wonderful teaching about Joseph and the heart. But tonight, because of the unending supply of God's goodness, wouldn't you agree?
I would.
And his faithfulness to his promises, wouldn't you agree?
I would.
And I can hear all you saying that too out there. We have so much to talk about. Now, maybe for some of us, this will be a review. But I want to put it in a certain context, because I know that we all, whether more or less, I don't know how exactly it is that you work this out, but somewhere, someplace, you have a look at your finances, I would assume. And hopefully things are in the black and not in the red. And a lot of times when you sort of justify or balance the books, or you get a statement from your bank, even online, it'll show something called debits and credits. And so I wanted to look tonight at a topic I've been called entitled An Unlimited Line of Credit. Any business owner knows that if he needs to make payroll or do something else, he'd like to have a line of credit to rely on. Many times homeowners get an equity line of credit to make repairs, and some people, because the interest rates are lower, they'll buy a car and different things like that. But when it comes to the things of God, you know, really, we have an unlimited line of credit. And so I want to put this kind of in the context of those things that have been debited from our account, and then those things that have been credited to our account. And I think that you'll find that the credits far outweigh those things that have been debited from our account, although I'm glad they're gone. When something's gone and been debited from your account, guess what? For the most part, it's gone, unless you have some sort of resource to be able to recover that. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm reading from the King James Version tonight, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature, new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so that's one thing I believe that has been debited from our account is the sin nature. The old nature that all of us came into this life with and lived with up until that point in time that we confessed Jesus as Lord, as we got born again. At that point in time, we became a new creature, a new creation in Christ. The sin nature was something that the new birth enabled us to overcome and blow to smithereens. I think Ken Petty once referred to it as it bankrupted the sin nature. See, that doesn't mean there's still not a struggle going on, because even though the sin nature has been destroyed, put into bankruptcy, we still have a mind that we have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a fleshly mind and we have a spiritual mind. And we have to sort of realign our priorities so that we're feeding and enhancing and embracing the things of the spirit man. And that's that new creation. That's that new man in Christ. Well, another thing in Hebrews chapter 9, we're just going to go down a list here, look at a few things. Hebrews chapter 9, if you would. Hebrews chapter 9, we'll look in verse 14. Hebrews Verse 14, where are you? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Well, I'm going to look in my Bible here. Sometimes these electronic devices don't give you exactly what you want in the moment. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so that's something, and let's look at verse 12 of chapter 10 as well. It says in verse 12, but this man, referring to Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He made one offering, one sacrifice, his life. And what we see, especially as look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, great records here that tell us we no longer have to have sin consciousness. Because it says there in Hebrews 10, 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? Talking in the context of animal sacrifices, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. I think Ken said it last night or Tuesday night in the teaching about just the evil nature of sin consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of realizing our identification in Christ, is it totally blows the smithereens, the unworthiness and the guilt and the condemnation that is brought about by sin consciousness. What is sin consciousness? It's the awareness of the sin nature, or possibly your bad behavior or bad thinking that you may or may not have, that the accuser just jumps in there and starts accusing you. You know, Jesus paid the price. He was the perfect sacrifice and delivered us from sin consciousness. He debited that. He debited the sin nature. He debited sin consciousness. According to Romans chapter 5, we're kind of going all over tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, talking about Adam here, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of what? Righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Unrighteousness was debited from our account. And in its place, we were credited with righteousness. Unworthiness was debited from our account. And we were made worthy as men and women and children of God. And we know that from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, right? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God. According to Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they prayed that God would give them more boldness. And you know what they got? More boldness. And so that lack of confidence, that fear and attitude of defeat was debited from our account. And in its place, we got boldness. We got deliverance from fear, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at that one. Beautiful. I'm actually using that in two places here in this little sharing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Maybe you can say it from memory. For God
has not given
us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power, love, and of a sound mind. God debited fear, and in its place, he gave us love, power and love, and he delivered us from an unsound mind, right? That's getting to be quite a list. God delivered us from the defeated victim mentality, and this is such a critical thing in all of our lives, in Christian lives, that we don't live in defeat, and we don't live as feeling like we're victims. We are not victims. We are, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 37, what? More
than conquerors.
More than conquerors. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "But thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory," what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We've been delivered from the sin nature, sin consciousness, unrighteousness, unworthiness, lack of confidence, fear, the defeated victim mentality, and we've been given a great purpose in life. Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if we can do one teaching anymore. We can get away from Ephesians chapter 2. We have grown to love this section, and it's because it's just such in contrast to things that we were and had and what kind of people we were like. And in verse 4, it says, "The God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He credited us with life. By grace you are saved. He raised us up together with Christ, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works." It's not like we're wandering around aimlessly now. We have a purpose. We have a mission. We have a direction. And it's God that works within us, willing to do of his good pleasure, that each one of us, with a different calling and a different ministry. Yes, we're united by the Spirit of Christ, but you serve in a capacity that you were called to serve in, and that only you can really fulfill that calling, because God is so individual. He just loves the variety of different people in the body of Christ, and yet we're all unified and bonded together. So lack of purpose, debit. Purpose and direction and hope, especially, we have been called to. You remember the verses in 1 Thessalonians. We teach them many times at memorial services or celebrations of life, where it says that we have hope. See? Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those who have fallen asleep, those who are born again sons of God, but have fallen asleep, have died, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have" what? "No hope." You know what? We have hope. We have the hope of Christ's return. We have the hope of the fulfillment of God's promises. We have the hope of God's desire to be good to his people and to lead his people and to guide his people and help his people and work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We have a great hope. No hope debited from our account. Great hope has been credited to us. Living in days of uncertainty, you know, Dr. Rorwell would say in Power for Abundant Living, very close to the beginning of the teachings, that they would pray that this word of God would be a safe anchorage, see, in a sea of speculation, and that it would be a certainty in the midst of all uncertainty. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the beauty of the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what this word of God has given to us, a greater understanding of the heart of God, a greater insight and perspective into the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, who was the living word, right? We've got the written word. We've got the living word. And, you know, now we are those written epistles that are out there in day-by-day living, exemplifying the characteristics and qualities of Jesus Christ, who lives within us by the way of spirit. And God didn't want us to be ignorant. We just read about that, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it also mentions that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 and following, where it said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual matters. You see, God wants us to know. And so he's, let's say, debited ignorance from our account, and in its place, he's given us great knowledge. Matter of fact, you'll see great prayers about knowledge, that we would have enlightened understanding, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would walk in the power of the Spirit. See, lack of power has been replaced by power. See, mm-hmm. This is something. So, because of the unending supply of God's goodness and his faithfulness to his promises, you know what? We have an unlimited line of credit. All we have to do is tap into it. You know, if you have a line of credit in your business or personally, you know what? All you got to do is write the check or use your debit card or something to tap into it. God has given us unlimited, literally unlimited resources to walk boldly and significantly and victoriously in this life that we're living. So this was kind of an interesting thing that God just showed me this morning. By debits and credits, the sin nature, sin consciousness, unrighteousness, unworthiness, lack of confidence, fear, defeat, a victim mentality, a lack of purpose, no hope, uncertainty, ignorance, and an unsound mind. All of those things have been completely covered and forgiven and remitted. They're no longer a part of who we are. Who we are is who God says we are. And so we move forward with the confidence and the believing and the boldness and the love to actually accept and to say of ourselves, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be, and I can do. See, we have to have our speech and our words in alignment with what the truth is. And this is just a small smattering, a simple list of things that have been credited to our account by grace. It's all by grace. And it's through the decision of one man who willingly gave his life on behalf of us all. So, Father, thank you for the willingness of your son, how you worked in his life, Father, and yet he came up against that choice and made it. And it says he went to the cross with joy. And I just pray every day, Father, we're reminded of what we truly have been given, and we realize that you're unlimited in your supply and in your desire to fulfill your promises and to work within us, Father. So help us to get there and help us to just live freely in that great understanding of who we are and what we've been made to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.